says this: woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock and out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. So then, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, but they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought up the descendants of Israel out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them. Then they will live in their own land. So, my question this morning to start with is, has anyone ever let you down? Oh yeah, that's a strong reaction before I even went any further than that. So friends or family, somebody in church maybe, I don't want you to say this out loud now, all right? Because they may be sitting next to you, might be married to them, or they may be your sibling, I don't know. Yeah, I'm guessing we've all been let down one way or another, right? Yeah? Maybe even just to narrow that down slightly, has anyone ever let you down who you've looked up to or you has been in authority over you? Somebody who you admired maybe? A teacher at school or somebody in church, like I said, or maybe government, maybe even a TV personality? Yeah, people let us down, don't they? You know, whether they're prime ministers, archbishops, I'm just thinking of some local recent ones rather, cooking show hosts, possibly even our parents, intentionally or not, and sometimes it is intentionally, sometimes it is unintentional. People in authority, people over us, people that we admire, they have a habit of not meeting the mark or meeting our needs. And this has been the case in the story of God as we've been looking at. So we've been looking through the scriptures, and we've been looking at the kings of Israel in particular, and we looked at the promise that was made to David, King David. He was held up as the kind of the king. But then as you look at the story after that, all the kings that follow are all a bit of a disappointment. In fact, some of them are a big disappointment. Some of them are okay. Some of them are okay. But most of them are not. And a lot of them are downright terrible. Yeah. Amen. They did not do well, did they? No. If you read the story. And despite that wonderful promise that God made to David, you know, that they were, that the king of Israel would have this son-father relationship, and that the king of Israel would have an everlasting throne and an everlasting kingdom, and he would have this household that God would provide for him. Despite that amazing promise, the kings of Israel, they kind of squandered it. And they didn't represent God well, because they were supposed to be representatives of God. The Son of God was supposed to represent God to the people. They didn't do a good job of that. Did a terrible job of that on the whole. And if you remember, as also I said a few weeks ago, that there's this idea of corporate identity for the nation. So whatever the king does is like the people do. So when the king's bad, it's bad news for the people. When the king's good, good news for the people. But unfortunately, it was bad news for the people because there wasn't a good king on the whole. So it was generally bad news. And that's the situation in the scriptures. And then there's this thing we've just read here, and it's talking about shepherds, and you might be thinking, what's that got to do with shepherds? Well, there's biblical kind of like connection or imagery where the shepherds And the kings were sort of seen as shepherds and associated as shepherds. So when God is speaking to the shepherds, he's not having a go at the farmers and wanting to deal with their inheritance tax and all that kind of thing. I'm trying not to be political. But he's actually speaking to the kings, the leaders, the rulers of the nation. And if you see what he says here in this scripture, he says, "You've scattered the sheep. You've scattered my people." It's like through their actions, they've brought division. And they've set people up against each other. And so they've scattered and gone to their own different places. That sounds a little bit familiar in the way the world is at the moment, how fractured and how scattered and divided we are. And he says, "You've driven them away. They've been exiled. They've been alienated. They've become homeless." You know, they've lost their sense of home. They've lost their place. And so they've been scattered and driven away to the far, you know, as sheep, they're sort of all over the place. And as people, they were scattered to all the different nations around them. He says to the shepherd, "You haven't cared for the sheep." Meaning, you didn't really value them. You didn't really see their worth. You weren't acting in righteousness towards them. You gave them no justice. It's not good news. It's terrible news in the scriptures here. And this is seemingly how the story of God seems to be concluding. It's kind of like, if you look at the story, all the people of Israel, they end up in exile. And what that means is they lost their land. They were thrown out of their land. They lost their land. They lost their temple, their place of worship. That was destroyed. They lost their king. Their identity, if you like, and they're scattered into all the nations around as either prisoners or exiles at best. They're not at home. It's not good news. And it's, in a sense, actually, if you can look at not just the story of God in the Bible, but actually if you look through history, how many times have rulers, through self-interest, wrecked a country? You know, or taken authority. I mean, we see it in the world around us now. It's just so tragic. There's so many things that are happening in big and small ways. But how rulers are it's bad news. And then you've got people, the grumbling underclass, you know, moaning and sometimes rebelling. A broken people who are often helpless to know what to do. And so it's a very familiar story in the scriptures. But this is what God does. He speaks here and he takes things into his own hands because he can see it's not really going very well. And he basically says there's a king that's coming. There's a kingdom that's coming. And he's going to be a good king. It's going to be a good kingdom. It's got something to do with David, who is a good shepherd. And so God takes things into his own hands and he says there's a better king coming. Hold on, people. There's a better king coming. And what it's going to be like is that, you know, that the every year they would celebrate the Passover. And with the Passover is a remembering when they were set free from Egypt, and they would celebrate this meal of this amazing freedom that came. It's basically saying there's going to be a new type of exodus. Almost like you're going to need to take a new meal. Because a greater exodus is going to happen where I'm going to gather in the people that have been scattered all over. And this is going to be even more amazing than the exodus that you celebrate already. A new freedom, a new rescue from the corrupt rule of the kingdoms of the world. A new exodus back to becoming a whole and united people, one flock, again, God's people. So God takes things into his own hands and he says a good shepherd is going to come. A new king. Shepherd king. Same thing. Just in biblical imagery in this case. And this is the thing. It's God's heart. You see, God's heart, I believe, is to gather the scattered. To draw them back to himself. Because ultimately, when we're scattered, we're pulled away from God. And his heart is to draw people back to himself, to his people back to himself. And I think that's very different to a lot of what people think God is about. I think some people think that God created the world and then just sort of turned his back on it and was like, well, I don't want anything to do with this. Because look how bad it is. I mean, you read the story. It isn't great. You look at the news. It isn't great. And so God's kind of like, no, I'm off. I'm out of here. Yeah, all that, or is this like he's just very cross with the whole situation? And really, when I get to see you, he starts wagging his finger, very angry. But actually, as you see this, God's heart is, I want to gather you back. I want to pull you in. Wherever you've ended up, I want to gather you back, because that's what good shepherds are about. They don't just kind of look at the sheep and go, oh, what a bunch of idiots. And by the way, sheep are pretty stupid, aren't they? Yeah. Well, let's not push that analogy too far. But, you know, but he's not kind of, oh, here we go again. He's continually like, I want to gather them back. Because that's what good pastures do. Shepherds do, rather. They want to bring you back to the pasture. You know, there's a parable that Jesus speaks in Luke 15, and he says, if a shepherd has 100 sheep, and he's got the 99 there, but one goes missing, he goes out to look for that one. Why? To tell it off and tell it how stupid it is? No. To bring it back into the fold, right? Because sheep are valuable to the shepherd. You know, I was looking at Ella when I said about sheep, because Ella's done a lot of stuff with sheep over her, you know, short life. A few years ago now, she had a wonderful opportunity to go and visit a farm in Kent every week and basically be a farmer for the day. And they had a lot of sheep. And most weeks Louise would take her, but from time to time I had the privilege of taking her. And it was a privilege because I got to just to see how this all worked. And so we got to know the two farmers there very well. And so we were out, and every time we would go out and we would literally count the sheep in the field, make sure they're all there. And this lady had an amazing ability to count like up to 57 or whatever the number of sheep was and know them. And I'm like, that one's just moved. How did you count them all? And she could do it. Anyway, there was a great story she told. And one of the stories she told us was of how a sheep had gone off wandering like sheep do. And it got itself into a big pond. It wasn't quite a lake, but it was a big pond. And because of the weight of the wool that got soaked, it couldn't get itself out. So being a shepherdess, she went into the water up to her waist. She wasn't a particularly tall, she isn't a particularly tall lady. And I don't know if you remember this story. I hope I've got it right. And she couldn't get the sheep out herself because it was too heavy. Sheep wasn't cooperating. So she had to hold, because the sheep was getting tired, she held the sheep's head out of the water for several hours in the cold water until her husband came to help her get the sheep out. That's what shepherds do. I'd be like, you're on your own, mate, you know. I'm not great in water, you know. I do like a lamb dinner, so maybe we can work this out, you know. But that's what shepherds do. That is what shepherds do. And so this is God's heart. He wants to gather his people back. And he says, I'll gather you back so you can be fruitful and increase in number. Does that ring any bells with anyone if you've read the Bible? Be fruitful and multiply? That's the kind of human the thing that God says, this is what it is to be human. Just go and be fruitful and multiply, he says to the man and woman in Genesis, men and women. And in that, God is saying, I want you to come back and I want you to be have a fullness of life. I don't really just to gather you back and then just to sit in a small little pen and go around and around in circles and sort of maybe people come visit and pay some money and buckets farm and pay for a lot of money for a little bag to feed you and that's about it. No, I want you to have fullness of life. To be life to the full. A place gathered back where there'll be no fear and no worries. Where none are missing. He says, where none are missing. So this is the thing. God is seeking out every single last one. Right? Where and you're in the flock and you're thinking, I wonder where Dave is. God's going, no, don't worry about Dave. I've got him covered. I'm going to go looking for him. That's the heart of a good shepherd, seeking out the lost, gathering them back in. And so for all of us here, to some extent, we've all been gathered in, because otherwise you wouldn't be here in the first place, right? So I'm probably preaching to the choir in one sense. But I just want to encourage all of us that this is God's heart, not only for the world around us, but also for us too. He's continually saying, draw closer, draw closer. I want you to have that fullness of life. I want you to be closer to me, the shepherd. I want you to be here in relationship with me as the shepherd. I want to be guiding you because it's a good way. So, now you've got the idea, hopefully, of what it is to be a shepherd, stroke king, the imagery in the scriptures. I'm going to read something that Jesus says, okay? And then just see if you can hear some of these echoes. Jesus says this, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers." All the shepherds that came before, thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have what? Life to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks and the flock is scattered. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. One flock, one shepherd. So this is God's heart. This is the good news. It's bad news, bad kings. Good news, good king. Good king wants to gather us in. His heart is like that of a good shepherd. And he wants to bring us as one flock, one shepherd. And no matter where we're at, his desire is to continually keep bringing us closer, bringing us closer. So it's a message for those around and the world around us outside. And also, by the way, don't think, sometimes I think we get a little bit kind of, oh no, I need to now go out and do lots of stuff. But actually, know this, and I'm not saying we shouldn't do evangelism, we should, but know this, God is already on the case. There are people out in the world around there, and I'm thinking, I wonder if I don't think they would ever want to come to church. And God's going, no, I want to gather them in. And not only that, he's already at work at that. And that's how sometimes we come across people and they say, like, well, we know through our connections with Elon, like Muslims who are in the middle of Christian nowhere. In fact, they are scattered into the, like, and they have visions of Jesus, who they don't even know who he is. And then when somebody says, oh, that must be Jesus. Oh, yeah, he was like this. And they describe Jesus. They don't know who Jesus is. And so he's there. Why? Because he's gathering them back. And so never write anyone off. This is a real message to me, by the way. Okay. And there's people outside and I just think, oh, there are some people I know and I think, oh, I don't think they'll ever come to church. I've written them off. Bad shepherd. But a good shepherd, which is God, he's always gathering. So never write anyone off. And also know that we are all being called to be gathered close. Let's pray and then we'll break bread together as one flock. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, the Good Shepherd, to us. We thank you for that great promise of the Scriptures, and we thank you for the fulfillment that comes in Christ. We thank you that as we sit here today, to one extent or another, you have gathered us in and brought us to you And that's how we are here today. We're grateful for that. We're grateful for your rescue. We're grateful that you have pulled us from all kinds of places. Some of us have really got ourselves in ditches and down sort of valleys that we couldn't get back out of, or into ponds. But you've pulled us out. You've set our feet on a solid ground in a new pasture. And we're grateful for that. And so I pray, let us know that heart first, and that even where we are now, you still call us closer. You still call us to be with you and to gather to you even more. And we pray for those around us that we have connections with. We pray, bring them into the fold, we ask, Lord, because in you is fullness of life. In you is fullness of life. And we desire to know that for ourselves, and we desire to know it for those around us. So Lord, make us one flock under one shepherd. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.